Usually this time of year, we'd be talking about the Dungeness crab season in California in the recent past tense. The usual target date for the fishery to shut down for the season is the end of June. This year, the Dungeness crab season ended in the middle of April. And that early closure has everything to do with the gear that people use to bring in the crabs. Concern about leftover gear entangling whales and other creatures led to the April 15 crab closure. And it's got the California Department of Fish and Wildlife working on a program to improve the rate of crabbing gear retrieval. Morgan Ivins-Duran is an environmental scientist with California Fish and Wildlife and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Morgan, thank you for joining us.
Great to be here.
So walk us into the issue first. For people who don't know the process of crabbing, it is very equipment intensive, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The commercial fisheries in California, Oregon, and Washington typically use a large round metal crab pot to which a rope and a series of buoys is attached. So you have that rope running from the bottom of the ocean where the crab trap is all the way up to the surface where you would see the floats.
So if you plan to catch a lot of crabs, you have to put out a lot of traps.
Yes. Correct.
Okay, so how long will traps get left out before they're hauled up and checked? I mean, what's the usual period there?
So in the state of California, we do have a 96-hour service interval requirement where we do require that those traps get pulled every 96 hours and be checked. We know that for a variety of reasons that service interval doesn't always get met, and, you know, certainly there is a possibility that traps, even if they are being serviced, are being left out in the water for weeks or months at a time when people are trying to keep catching crabs.
All right, so it sounds like there's a bit of a flurry of activity there, and not every crab trap gets checked as often as it should.
That's probably true, but, you know, even if you are pulling your gear and then resetting it every 96 hours, you know, that trap is getting pulled, you know, checked and then put right back in the water. So, you know, a given trap is going to generally be out at sea for weeks or months at a time, depending on the fisherman who's using it.
Okay, so you pull them up, you get the stuff out if there's anything, and then you get the crabs out, and then put them back.
Correct.
Okay, and so the 96 hours, that's 4 days. So basically, if you put it in Monday, you got to check it by Thursday is the idea?
Yes.
Okay, so do crabbers report losses to anyone when they lose their gear?
So I can really only speak to the fishery in California, but no, we don't currently have any kind of logbook or other reporting requirement where people have to tell us about their gear and if they've lost traps. However, when we implemented our trap limit program about 5 years ago now, we require that each trap in California that's fished have a buoy tag attached to it. And if people lose those tags or, you know, more commonly the trap that the tag was attached to, they can request replacements from us. And so those replacement requests are one way that we can use to sort of track how much gear is lost, but it's certainly not a perfect system.
So the trap limit program you're describing here, Morgan, is that does that have an upper limit of the numbers of traps any particular operator can get?
Yes, there are 7 tiers in the trap limit program, and the top tier can fish up to 500 traps at a time.
Okay, so that's the maximum, 500 traps at a time.
Per fisherman, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we said that crabbers don't necessarily report losses, but is there any good way to, outside of the buoy tag restoration or renewal, that to tell how much stuff gets left out there over the course of a year?
You know, other than the buoy tag replacement request, you know, we do have several organizations over the last few years that have been going out and working with Dungeness crab fishermen to retrieve lost gear. And it's those efforts and the success of those efforts that actually spurred the legislature to ask the department to implement this new program to sort of incentivize and formalize those efforts. And other than that, all we really have to rely on right now are, you know, self-reporting by the fleet. You know, common wisdom that I have heard from fishermen is that on average they lose about 10% of the traps that are fished every year. We don't have a systematic way of really determining that at this time.
All right, so a maximum of 500 traps on the top of 7 tiers. So do we have a total number of traps that get out in California every year?
So based on, you know, the trap limit allocations and how many vessels are making landings in any given season, we estimate the current fishery fishes about 140,000 to 150,000 traps right now. But, you know, that's assuming that they're fishing their entire trap allotment, which we know is not the case. So that's likely an overestimate of the number of traps that are being actively fished in any given season.
All right, I'm just doing some math on the fly here then. So if you lose 10% of your traps and you only have 120,000 out each year, you're still losing about 12,000 traps a year, aren't you?
Yeah. So it's potentially a really large issue.
Mm-hmm. Morgan Ivins-Duran is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about crab traps in California and efforts to make sure that they don't go missing as much as they do and stay out in the ocean. Join us on the exchange if you have questions or comments at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I want to make sure I'm not putting blame where it shouldn't be. I mean, people don't leave traps out there on purpose. They are expensive, aren't they?
Yes, the cost of a new trap plus the lines and buoys that need to get attached to it is estimated to be about $200. Mm-hmm. So you multiply that by, you know, even 150 traps, that's quite a bit of money that's potentially being lost by the fleet. So, you know, we're aware that, you know, it costs the fishery something to lose that gear, as well as posing this entanglement risk for marine life.
Is it usually just a weather situation? I mean, just ocean conditions. I mean, we're talking about putting things out in pretty harsh environments.
Yes, certainly ocean conditions likely play a role in that. You know, you have storms that move traps from where fishermen set them. You have strong currents that can make it hard to see the buoys at the surface. So even if you are right above the trap, you might not necessarily be able to see it depending on what the currents are doing.
You mentioned just a moment ago entanglement. So what are some of the things that happen when crabbing gear wanders off and the owners can't find it?
You know, as I mentioned when we talked about sort of the setup of a trap, you know, you have this large weight at the bottom, you have a rope running up to the surface, and so that's a vertical line in the water. And, you know, theoretically, any animal that's swimming through the ocean could get wrapped up in that line. And so that's where we see these entanglements happen.
Okay. So now at the end of the season, they're supposed to bring the traps in, right?
Correct. All dangerous crab traps are supposed to be removed from the ocean by 11:59 p.m. on the last day of the season.
Which this year was April 15th, right?
Yes.
Okay, which is what that's usually is the end of June?
Yes, usually the end of June or mid-July, depending on what part of the state you're in.
So, Morgan, talk about what happened there. Why Dungeness crab season shut down so early this year?
So there were a variety of reasons, and I don't know if we have time to get into all of them, really, but the short version is that, you know, that early season closure was part of a settlement agreement between the state of California, the Pacific Coast Federations of Fishermen's Association, and the Center for Biological Diversity, as well as, you know, we have well-established trends of particularly humpback whale migration along the California coast that we know tends to pick up in the spring months, you know, April and May. And so we were starting to see the early signs of that migration happening and wanted to take some preventative action to hopefully avoid a large number of entanglements this year.
And is there any way to monitor the success of the early shutdown, whether we have fewer things entangled, anything like that? I mean, it's hard to prove a negative, I guess.
It is hard to prove a negative, yes. That's definitely true. I mean, in 2019, we have not yet had any confirmed entanglements in California commercial Dungeness crab gear that I'm aware of, at least. So you could take that as a sign of success of that early closure, but that could be due to a variety of other factors as well. So it's hard to say for sure.
So under the current system, and again, we're going to move into talking about some proposals here for reforming it, are there any penalties or fines for gear that is left out there or lost?
So under the new program that we're implementing, which should be live later this summer, there will be this process by which, you know, qualified entities can apply for a permit from the department, and they then recruit, you know, up to 10 commercial fishermen and vessels to go out and retrieve gear when the season is closed. They bring that gear back into port. They contact the person who owned that gear previously and, you know, offer to return it in exchange for a reasonable recovery fee to cover the cost of fuel and crew and storage of that trap gear. And so hopefully that is a successful conversation and the Dungeness crab fisherman gets their gear back and all is well and good. If the Dungeness crab fisherman and that person who pulled the gear aren't able to come to that agreement, then that's when the department would get involved. And so we would pay a fixed sum to that permittee to sort of cover their costs, and then we would impose a per trap fee on the Dungeness crab vessel permit holder.
All right. So the ideal of what you're looking at here then is that the person who had the trap lost pays the person who brought the trap back to them. But if they don't, the person who retrieved the trap still gets paid by the state, and then you find the owner.
Correct.
All right. So how are things going with let me back up a step. So under the current system that exists now, so before this goes into place, are there any penalties or fines for gear left out?
No, there are not. So right now, other than the fishermen having to, you know, pay to get a new trap, there is no consequence, essentially, of losing that gear. We do have a variety of nonprofit organizations that are working in the, you know, central and northern parts of the coast with Dungeness crab fishermen under existing authority to, you know, pull and retrieve gear after the season, and in many cases, you know, returning it to the person who had lost it. But there's no requirement that there's any compensation for that activity. So that is certainly a new feature of this program. It would ensure that people who are out on the water, you know, pulling this gear, reducing this entanglement and navigational safety hazard, are being paid for their efforts.
We're talking about crab fishing in California and the issue with traps that get lost, traps and other gear, related gear, that end up entangling other wildlife. The state of California working on a new program, as you just heard, to curtail the leaving out of traps, or at least to improve the retrieval rate of them. Morgan Ivins-Duran is an environmental specialist in California Department of Fish and Wildlife. If you have questions or comments here on the Jefferson Exchange, bring them in by phone at 800-838-3760 or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So I can see that the ideal thing would be to have the people who come in with the retrieval permits hire boats that are out there, but there's some issues with potentially the hiring of boats, because they're, even though the Dungeness crab season may be closed, those boats are now off fishing for something else?
So the retrieval permittee, which is the entity that the department would be communicating with, is going to be either a nonprofit entity, a sport or commercial fishing association, or a government entity such as a harbor district. And so that, you know, retrieval permittee is then responsible for finding the folks who are actually going to go out on the water. We do require that they are commercial fishermen and that they have recent trap fishing experience, but it's not necessarily Dungeness crab fishing experience that they have to have. And obviously they would need to have the gear on board their boat to pull that, to pull those traps.
All right, so you don't want to get a situation where you got a bunch of people going out in small outboard boats with hooks trying to grab stuff.
Absolutely. And so, you know, currently there are, you know, commercial Dungeness crab fishermen who are participating in these pilot programs and going out and retrieving gear during the same period. So we certainly expect that some of those would continue under this new program. But, you know, retrieval permittees would be welcome to recruit from folks participating in other trap fisheries, which might still be open at that time.
So what you're really talking about here, Morgan, is trying to create a market where you pay some people to go out and get the stuff, and they go out and get the stuff and then try to bargain with the people who own the stuff.
So that question of ownership is actually a really interesting one. So under the statute, the bill that the legislature passed asking the department to implement this program, folks who are retrieving gear under our permits actually own the gear that they pull up. They are required to offer to return it to the Dungeness crab fisherman whose, you know, buoy tag is on that gear, but they own that gear at that point. So that, you know, closes sort of a squishy legal loophole, because if you're retrieving under our other section, you know, that gear still belongs to the fisherman, and there's potentially some complications with that.
So the transaction then, if you pull it up, is to try to sell it back to the person who used to own it. All right. So if that transaction doesn't work and the state ends up paying off the person who did the retrieval, does the state then own those traps?
No, those traps would still belong to the retrieval permittee at that point. Mm-hmm.
I noticed that you had a couple of public hearings to gauge reaction to the proposal on the coast. What kind of things did you hear back?
You know, we heard heard a wide range of comments, I would say, both at those hearings and also during, you know, written public comments that we received. There are certainly some concerns about the high potential costs that that folks would be paying, you know, if they aren't able to come to resolution with the retrieval permittee and the department is then getting involved. You know, that per trap fee is going to be a slightly over $400 a trap. And so we definitely heard some concerns from folks. But again, you know, the emphasis and the intent of this program is really to keep things at a local level and to keep the department out of it as much as possible. And so we really want to encourage Dungeness crab fishermen who are contacted by retrieval permittees to participate in that, you know, free negotiation of what a reasonable recovery fee would be.
So the transaction between the retrievers and the crabbers and Fish and Wildlife left out of it, unless there is a hitch in the transaction.
Yes, that's certainly our hope.
So the comment period closed recently, is that right?
Yes, we had two public comment periods actually for this regulation, because we got some comments from the public during our initial comment period and we wanted to make some changes. So our second public comment period closed at the end of June.
All right. So what happens now?
So the final regulatory package is, you know, being discussed by department staff and will be sent to the Office of Administrative Law for their review. That's a typical part of the rulemaking process in the state of California. They then have 30 working days to review it and then either approve it or not. So we anticipate that this regulation will be, you know, live and the program will be you know, getting stood up by the end of August.
All right, so that the program will actually take effect this year and be in effect for the next Dungeness crab fishing season.
Correct. So under this, program is actually, the retrieval is limited to a period when the Dungeness crab season is typically closed.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So, you know, year retrieval can start 15 days after the commercial season closes, as specified in statute, and then can run through the end of September. So this year, we're certainly going to be looking at a shorter potential period for folks to go out and retrieve gear, you know, basically just the month of September, possibly part of August, depending on when our rulemaking is done and on the books. But next year, we should have the full retrieval season available.
So this past Dungeness crab season started fairly late, as I recall, because the crab weren't quite big enough. At least I remember that being the case in Oregon. Was it the case in California as well?
Yes, we did have quality delays as well as delays for domoic acid this year.
All right. And so the season started late, ended on April 15th. Have there been bad entanglements in crab gear before?
Yes. So, you know, starting, you know, prior to 2014, the West Coast as a whole, in all fisheries, averaged about 10 entanglements per year. And in 2014, we saw a huge increase in that. And that those numbers have continued to be high, although they have started to drop off a little bit in recent years, but still certainly well above average. And, you know, over half of those entanglements, it's hard to identify them to a specific fishery just based on the documentation and the evidence that's provided to National Marine Fisheries Service, which monitors all of that. But of the ones where we can identify it, a large proportion of them are commercial Dungeness crab. And in recent years, NOAA has started providing a state-by-state breakdown. So, you know, being able to tell the difference between California commercial Dungeness crab gear as opposed to gear from Oregon or Washington. It's certainly a part of the problem.
Okay. New rules on the way in California. Morgan Ivins-Duran, environmental scientist, California Fish and Wildlife. Thank you so much.
Thank you.